I like to sprinkle in episodes or, you know, doing shows on shows that I had to watch alone. And this is one of those shows, The Handmaid's Tale. Let's get into the trivia regarding the first season of The Handmaid's Tale. Is this going to be a thing?
It's going to be a thing.
On the first season of The Handmaid's Tale. Question one. What is the name of the wife of the commander to whom Offred is assigned? I'll get into why I can't pronounce that in the show. Question two. What is the commander's wife's real name? Question three. Where do Offred and her fellow handmaids stay when they are being trained? Question four. What game does the commander want Offred to play when he summons her at night? Question five. What is the name given to the ceremony where handmaids are encouraged to beat a criminal to death? Question six. What is the name of the rebel organization of which of Glenn is a member? Question seven. All handmaids who fail to produce children and all criminals who are not hanged on the wall are sent to sweep up radioactive waste in a distant area of Gilead. What is it called? Question eight. Offred holds one key thing that she attempts to use as a powerful tool. What is that? What key thing? And it's not keys. Question nine. One of the handmaids gives birth during the course of the series. We find out her real name is Janine, but what is her assigned name? And finally, question 10. What is the name of Offred's husband missing after they tried to escape from Gilead? What's her husband's name? All right, well, let's get on with the program here after this commercial break. Adapted from the classic novel by Margaret Atwood, The Handmaid's Tale is a story of life in the dystopia of Gilead, a totalitarian society in what was formerly the United States. Facing environmental disasters and a plunging birth rate, Gilead is ruled by a twisted fundamentalism and its militarized, quote, return to traditional values, end quote, is one of the few remaining fertile women. Offred, played by Elizabeth Moss, is a handmaid in the commander's household. One of the cast of women forced into as a last desperate attempt to repopulate the world. In this terrifying society, Offred must navigate between commanders, their cruel wives, domestic Marthas, and her fellow handmaids. Where anyone could be a spy for Gilead, all with one goal, to survive and find the daughter that was taken from her. Well, this one's going to be an upbeat episode, isn't it? So, The Handmaid's Tale, which is on Hulu, premiered on April 26, 2017. And to me, it was just shocking. Like, how is this a thought? But, you know, I got emotionally involved very quickly. As a father, I obviously cannot relate to the impact it would have if I was a woman. But I think that, you know, it's kind of one of the most interesting shows in television. Season one got a 94% certified fresh, tomato meter rating, 91% audience score. Huge amount of people giving their opinion. We looked at 100 people with the last episode with Nancy Drew. We got 3,451 for Handmaid's Tale. I don't even know if there are many. Yeah, I got a few rotten reviews.
Good. Excellent.
From The Ringer, quote, "Once The Handmaid's Tale was done being a phenomenon, it had to start being television. And that, more or less, is where the problems begin." The Undefeated, quote, "If dystopic art is to serve as a commentary on what's currently taking place in the world, its stewards would do well to remember that." Okay, so I don't know why you would get political on this. I truly don't believe we're headed in any way to this direction. But if that's what people want to put out there, that's fine, I guess. Oh, let's read some positive ones, shall we? First season, okay. Oh, I don't even know what these things are. There's a lot of people. Screen Queens, quote, "The Handmaid's Tale expertly exposes the injustice that can poison society when sexism, racism, and homophobia are allowed to slide, passed off initially as harmless, often in the form of comments and observations." Oh. These are all going to be political, aren't they? Let's try this random here. Quote, The Herald, from The Herald. Quote, "The direction and writing here is as good as any you will find in cinema, with Moss perfect as the handmaid who takes the Gloria Gaynor oath, I will survive. Get in early on this one. It's going to be a talker." Yeah, it's definitely a talker. The Stranger, quote, "Not because The Handmaid's Tale itself was particularly frightening, but because this near future is just a little too close to the truth of where our current reality could go. It's for this reason that everyone must watch." Oh my. Maybe I picked the wrong episode to do. Okay, maybe this one. Dazed and Confused, quote, "The Handmaid's Tale is difficult to watch, but it is masterfully put together, terrifyingly scored, and devastatingly acted by its central characters." I agree, 100%. Amazing acting. And huge production value. Very impressed with Hulu on this one. The Guardian, quote, "For many, the anguish of watching won't be worth it." I agree. "But the vision of a totalitarian society is realized so fully that the story remains gripping, and its message vital." Chicago Tribune, quote, "We'll see where the adaptation goes from here. Already, though, Hulu series has erased the pale 1990 feature film version directed by Volker Schlondorf, starring Natasha Richardson." There was a movie? What? I didn't know. I didn't even know that. Interesting. I'm going to have to look that up. So if you haven't seen the first season, you know, it's an amazing show that apparently a lot of people relate to society in 2017. We're not that kind of show, so I'm not going to delve into that. But the first season was utterly amazing, difficult to watch at some points, very heavily emotionally driven, and then we came into season two, which got an 89% tomato meter, 81% audience score, a lot less users putting in their thoughts, a lot less critics putting in their thoughts, but still considered certified fresh. Now, as far as what people thought of this, The Atlantic, quote, "The most compelling scenes in the new season are the ones that explore how exactly Gilead took over America. And that draw on contemporary events and figures with eerie relevance." They're doing it again. It's a TV show. It's like, what happened? What happened? What happened? Quote, "Sifting through themes of faith, abandonment, and responsibility, The Handmaid's Tale Season 2 is a powerful return to a world that none of us want to live in." Yeah. And I don't think we will. All right, Rotten Reviews from Season 2. We got, what? Oh, not doing it. I'm not doing that. Not reading that. Oh my gosh. You know, maybe I should look at the audience reviews. Because, you know, everybody's, oh, these are so politically driven here. You don't have to make a point for everything. Talk about how good the acting is. Oh my goodness, I'm not reading any of these. Well, the audience scores. There's a rotten one here. Let's see. Quote, "Hated season one, but decided to give the show a second chance. Season two was even a bigger disappointment." Oh. Okay. Quote, another one. "This season has been extremely disappointing. The second star in only for the one episode when Nicole got out. The rest of the season has been boring." Oh. You know, sometimes I like reading, what is this, quote, "boring, very disappointed in this season so far." Okay? You gotta give it some time. Quote, "don't watch the second season. The characters are jagged. Instead, following an arc of development guided by logic or nature, they zigzag back and forth between this and that." Hmm. I guess I cannot rely on audience or professional reviews for this episode of the podcast. The professionals try to tie in everything to the state of our country. Bringing up things that are very hashtaggy. And I'm not sure, you know, I think when people want, like, I've read the book, okay? And I think this is extremely accurate to the book. It's very well done, very well translated into a series. And, you know, everyone on these professional reviews are talking about how, you know, how much it looks like the U.S. today, how much it looks like this is where we're headed, folks. You need to watch this because this is your future. That's what most of these I'm not reading are saying. The book was written in 1984. I didn't know there was a movie, that's the only thing I've gotten out of this so far. So I will look into that, definitely. But please, please just leave it, you know, let's just be a movie reviewer. Let's not go crazy, okay? Because we really don't have time for that. There's more to life than politics. So season three had a huge drop on the audience score side. So season one, professional score 94. Season two, professional score 89. And season three dropped to an 82, which is not very fresh. Now, the audience score for season three is a 58%. And, you know, again, I'm reading the reviews to myself right now, and I apologize to that, but they're not very podcast friendly. especially the audience ones. If you'd like, feel free to go to Rotten Tomatoes and read the reviews. There's a time and place, and this show has no time or place for these things. All right, let's just leave it at that. I don't know how am I supposed to get through the rest of this episode. Politics and whatever you think of where you live aside, okay? This show is horrific and beautiful. The acting is beyond comprehension for most network shows. The premise is disturbing and alien to me, as to where society is going or has been. Maybe has been is more of an accurate description, considering that the book bases it on colonial life and how things were different, and the dangers, apparently, of religion. But if we look at the character of Fred, especially in the first and second season, she has gone through a lot of horrible things. Things that most of us, especially me, cannot relate to. And through everything, she has empowered herself to do whatever she can to get out of the situation she's in, to seemingly appear to be with them, but never truly doing that. There are characters on the show who have conformed, but she never has and never will. I think that a lot of the reviews that I've just seen are not showing how strong of a woman she truly is, her maternal instinct, her maternal power, her maternal existence. Everything she is doing is because of that. Everyone wants to talk about how, you know, this is what it's like, this is what it could be, but it's not about that. It's about love. Like, what is wrong with you? I mean, it's one of the greatest shows to show true evil and true love. And I'm not joking. I mean, I hate being serious, but all these reviews were serious, so what do you expect me to do? I can't be making voices, being goofy. Ugh, yuck. But, I mean, this is an amazing show. How can you say the things that I read? Like, I didn't read them out loud. That's not what this is about. And I think you, as you know, as a listener, hopefully, can watch it for what I think it is, as opposed to what apparently other people think it is. I mean, an amazing show. It's an amazing show. And I don't know where it's going. A lot has happened in season 3 that apparently nobody liked that season. I thought it was great. And I'm really looking forward to season 4. And I'm not ashamed of that. This is the show that I have to watch by myself, which is fine. And sometimes I have to watch it on mute, and I have to read the subtitles, and I might have watched the first 3 episodes on mute, and I didn't know how to pronounce a lot of things. I thought her name was Offred, but it's Offred, which is why I messed it up in the trivia in the beginning. And that happens. It happens. I'm human. I'm not a professional podcaster or anything. I've just been doing this so long that I'm stuck. I'm stuck at this point. I got people out there who want to listen to me get all emotional about this amazing TV show that is horrific and beautiful at the same time. Well, after doing this, it is very clear that I truly do need a vacation. Maybe I'll pick lighter shows. This is supposed to be fun. And like, you know, I want to make it real for you. I watch the show, obviously, but I don't research what other people think of the show. Or what their opinions, right? Because that's all a review is an opinion. And apparently you can just really just go all out there like some of these folks have. And when I read the reviews on the show, it's for the first time, you know? So my reactions are very real, and my opinion is going to be further from the professionals on this. And that's too bad, because some people watch things for different reasons, and I kind of like the way I watch things a little bit better than the way they do. And this is apparently one of those shows. If you haven't seen it, I mean, you know, Hulu's, now they're part of the whole Disney Plus family, which that episode's coming up, yeah. Finally, a Disney Plus show, episode. And now that it's all part of the bundle, you know, with ESPN Plus and Hulu Plus and Disney Plus, check it out. Handmaid's Tale, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in, but completely worth it in the end. The season finale was 100%, like, quote, compelling. And, the sacrifices. I mean, it truly is one of the greatest stories of love that you could ever see. Answers, give me answers, please. Question, here are the answers to the trivia from 20 minutes ago. Question 1, what is the name of the wife of the commander to whom Offred is assigned? Offred. Correct answer is Serena Joy, who in the books was a ex-gospel singer. Just so you know. Question 2, what is the commander's wife's real name? And that is actually Pam. Pam. Like the cooking spray. Question 3, where do Offred and her fellow handmaids stay when they are being trained? And that would be the Rachel and Leah Center, called the Red Center by its inhabitants, so I would accept that. Question 4, what game does the commander want Offred to play when he summons her at night? Since women are forbidden from reading or writing in Gilead, being asked to play Scrabble is an act of rebellion against the regime to Offred. Unfortunately, however it goes, unnoticed by all except her and the commander, so it's ultimately fruitless. But give you something to do. There's no real entertainment in this place. Just horrible things. Question 5. What is the name given to the ceremony where handmaids are encouraged to beat a criminal to death? The participation is actually the final event within the salvaging. Participation. in which those who have defied the principles of Gilead are hanged and put on the wall, as an example. And I think the participation is actually one of the most... the whole show is disturbing. It really is. All right, question 6. What is the name of the rebel organization of which of Glenn is a member? Mayday. Mayday. Question 7. All handmaids who fail to produce children and all criminals who are not hanged on the wall are sent to sweep up radioactive waste in a distant area of Gilead. What is it called? The colonies. Question 8. Ufred holds one key thing that she attempts to use as a powerful tool, and that would be her real name. Question 9. One of the handmaids gives birth during the course of this series. We find out her real name is Janine, but what is her assigned name? And that is Of Warren. Of Warren. Question 10. What is the name of Ufred's husband who goes missing after they try to escape? Which would be, the flashbacks in the first episode. And obviously a key part of future season. That would be Luke. Thank you so much for listening. I promised a Disney Plus episode. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's a secret. Disney Plus series, doing an episode on that, and that will be Friday. Then I'll be gone for a week. And I'll try to get a show 2 weeks from Friday. It just depends. It really depends. All right. So thank you so much for listening. We will see you on Friday.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.